Like to give a welcome to Ricardo from Fastmail. Thank you very much.
Hey, okay. I did a timing run of this, but I had like zero sleep in 48 hours. So either it's going to run short or long, or maybe right on time. We'll see. But get the tape in. Give me a second. There we go. All right. So imagine it. It's the future. The year 2018. And at Fastmail, all of our critical systems run through our chatbot, right? Like you want to deploy, you go to the chatbot. You want to set up a task for somebody else to do, you want a reminder, you go to the chatbot. And the chatbot is written in for an IRC service because we're a cutting-edge company. And it's in charge of everything, right? And then I got this email from Slack and it said, hey, just so you know, in like 3 weeks, we're turning off the IRC gateway. And I talked to the shareholders who said they didn't want to close the company. So it turned out that we had to take this thing, this is Synergy, our bot, and go through a raging quick process to upgrade her to talk to Slack. So this talk is about that project, but it's also about the fact that when we did that, we totally rewrote not every line of code, but all the lines of the interesting code to make it not horrible to deal with, because it was. This is the three of us who did this. Matt Horsfall, who's at the top middle there, is a frequent person at Perl Things. He happened to be in town. He mostly works remote. And we said, great, let's drop everything else we're doing. We'll sit in a room for 5 days and rewrite our chatbot, and it was great. It was written originally for Perl 5.16, which at the time was cutting edge, and it was written using Poe, which was not cutting edge. Who here has ever used Poe?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sorry. This is me looking excited back when I was younger, like, yeah, Poe! No. This is Poe code. Look, you don't need to know everything about this code, but there it is. The thing you should notice is that it's pretty weird. Like, $_square_arg0, what the hell even is that? Like $_heap. I use Perl so I don't think about a heap, right? Like that's what I'm doing. It's a mess. So what you need to know about Poe to understand this talk is like nothing. Don't worry about it. But even in 2005, right, when I very first started writing the first line of this code, it felt weird to use. And it's not really Poe's fault. The problem is that for a long time, any kind of concurrency felt weird, at least for me and at least in Perl, right? Anything you're going to do, you're like, why is my code now coming from outer space? And Poe was just more weirdness that I didn't want to deal with. So my strategy for building the software is really simple, right? Do as much as possible without Poe. Don't write the Poe code. That's where everything gets messed up. So only use it when you absolutely need to, like all this asynchronous talking to the network server. And you can simplify that. You can make that statement generic by saying concurrency is weird. So weirdness is hard to cope with in your program. So minimize the weirdness by writing less concurrency in your code, right? Minimize how much your code has to do concurrency. So you imagine the program looks like this. You've got like that magic IRC thing. That's where all the Poe lives. That's where it's weird. And then like a thing that gets messages and dispatches them to something that does something. And we tell ourselves that it works like this, right? There's like the concurrency lives over here, and then there's the good code that we wrote. And the magic IRC thing does its magic, and it calls the dispatcher, and the dispatcher calls the handler, and sends them the IRC thing, and you're good, right? That's it. And the problem is that's not how it works. Okay, like some abstractions let you believe lies and they're good, and some let you believe lies and they hurt you. So you imagine it, like subroutines form a stack, right? A subroutine calls a subroutine calls a subroutine, and it returns and it returns and it returns. And you can violate that, but like don't tell me about it. The handler down here has to return. So either the dispatcher is getting the return value from the handler and passing it back to IRC to send a reply, or the handler's doing some weird thing to send a reply before it returns, right? So what's actually happening? Let's say it's the first one. We're going to like engage in a little Socratic method, a little go through the logical process. Message comes in to IRC, a network message, and it turns it into something that can go to the dispatcher. Dispatcher sends it to the handler. Handler sends it to the IRC thing. The circle of life, right? Great. No, what actually happens is it comes in from the network, and it goes to the dispatcher, and it goes to the handler. Handler's like, I got this, but it's going to take a minute. I need to look up 70 million rows in the database. And meanwhile, everybody on IRC is still sending these other messages. And you're not talking to the network anymore. You're like asynchronous thing is sitting there like, I would be so busy being asynchronous if you would just yield to me. And you don't, because you're voting, putting concurrency everywhere you can, and pretty soon the whole thing falls apart, and like you lose all your messages, and everybody's like, why aren't my deploys working? Because of IRC. So the other option has to be true, right? The handler's doing a thing. So a message comes into IRC, it goes to the dispatcher, it goes to the handler, and the handler has to do something, so, because this thing's happening. So it sends it back to IRC, but now it's blue. Right now, it's a different message. It's not the, you got a message, it's I want to send a message, and everything's good. This is no longer just IRC, it's all your async, right? Your stuff comes in, it goes over there, it keeps going, you're good. Now you need something to handle both kinds of messages. One for, you know, you've got a message, you're going to do something, and one you're going to send a reply. These boxes should be labeled differently. You're fine. Every kind of message that comes in, you've written your own simple, pretty much blocking, but okay, handler. You don't even need a dispatcher anymore. You just tie it into the message. Here's where I go when you call me. Great. Your code got simpler. The problem is, making a ticket involves like talking to the database, which in non-blocking terms means starting to talk to the database, doing the talking to the database, finishing talking to the database, dealing with an error. So you have to write all of these little pieces of code. Wonderfully, they're not concurrent, right? They just block if they need to, or they just get called once. They're not doing anything weird. And then your program looks like this. This is roughly like the dumbass version of the actor model, so like Zoolander code. But it's not, it could be good. I just came from the Erlang room. The Erlang room is cool, actors are cool, but you don't write Perl code that way, which means your Perl code feels weird, and we actually want to write Perl code that feels like Perl code. So here's what we do. We make a message, and the message is going to contain its own reply handler. Right? You're like, I'm going to send you a message, and don't worry, you don't need to go write all these million things. When I send you the message, I put like a self-addressed stamped envelope. If this happens, send this envelope, and that's your little reply handler. And now your code still looks like Perl code. You're good. And you do this all over the place. Like when you're setting up the listener, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to bind to this socket, and if there's an error, here's what you do. And if you do connect, here's what you do. And by the way, after you've connected, once you start receiving packets, here's what you do, right? And you're nesting all these envelopes, and it's great. Like, you all got a pile of top-level envelopes. And you're like, yeah, so I'm going to listen, and then maybe bind, and then maybe connect, and then maybe accept. And over here, like, I'm going to do an LSTAT, the block in the file system. That one's easy. I'm going to create a file over here and then do some stuff with it. I'm going to k-poll. And, like, you got all these nested things. And everything piles up, and everything is like an envelope with an envelope with an envelope, and it doesn't look like Perl code anymore. There's a name for this pattern, by the way. They call it callback hell, because this is what it feels like. Thank you. Like all of your code is just all callbacks. There's no named subroutines anymore. So you wanted to write this code, okay? Like, this is all you wanted. You just wanted to make a ticket. You got a message from the network. I put the whole thing up here. I was going to go through it line by line, but whatever. You get a message, and you parse it. And it's like, here's the ticket you should make. That's the plan. And then you say, if they're allowed to make the ticket, good. But if they're not, you reply no, and you return, right? You're done. Crash early. And then you make the ticket, and then you reply, I made the ticket. That's the code you want to work. This is the perfect platonic expression of a chatbot, right? I got a message, and I did a thing. And the problem is, these three things block. And this is where your whole program just starts falling apart. Because you've got like 75 kinds of event handlers that all look like this, and they all block. So it's okay. You can fix this problem by using sequencing, by using promises or futures. And all you have to do is make your code look like this. This is just another kind of callback hell, right? You're just saying, here's all this stuff to line it all up, and like you will end up being like, yeah, I'm living in the future, it's amazing, I can like write all my non-blocking code, but you're so sad inside because it's all these anonymous subroutines that you can't debug, and like they're real bad. So remember when I said this earlier, right? Concurrency is weird, so minimize it by minimizing the concurrent code. That was bullshit. Don't do that. You need to lean into it, right? You need to. The problem is this: when you minimize the concurrent code, you write crappy programs. Because you write programs where you're like, all the weird shit's over here, and everything else is coping with it. Right? All of your code is just, yeah, I'm here to cope. Don't do that. What you want to do is get the language to hide that complexity for you. The language is like, don't worry. You write the code you want to write, and I'm going to make it work. And then you make the code concurrent at the slightest provocation. You're like, oh, this might be able to block. Concurrent, that's what you do. And you can do that now because of async await. And that's what I'm going to talk about for a little while. And I promise I'm going to talk about the chatbot. So you take this ugly-ass code, right, where you're like, do this, and then call this other code, but then call this other code. And if it fails, you don't need to read this. I've read it once. That's enough for all of us. You write this. It's just like that beautiful, perfect platonic code, except I stuck some green stuff on here, right? This sub is now asynchronous. It can yield. Then this line of code, I will yield here if I need to. That's all you're saying. I identify this code might be blocking. I don't know. Let something else figure it out. And how does this actually work? Well, when you do this, something, it's called future async await, something takes this and it like pulls apart the whole subroutine into different units. And it's like, I'll put these together the right way. Don't sweat it. I'm going to make it work. And kind of what it puts it together into is this. Kind of. The reality is what it's really doing is really gross and scary, and it involves like mangling op trees and putting them together. But that's what all Perl code is anyway. All this time that you write Perl, it's just building some crazy ass op tree.